times out. Thank you.
All right, Brian, are you ready?
Okay, are we live?
We are.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting in the 12th floor of the Capitol today for a work session on case number PU-12767. I'm joining the crowd here by phone. We're actually driving back from Fargo. Apologize for the calling in, but got hung up with the interstates being closed. But before I kick off, I'll just see if Randy or Julie has any opening comments.
This is Randy, and thank you, but besides this being a very interesting case for me, you know, not only because I think it's important for North Dakota, but also the fact that the ag fertilizer prospect is such an interesting thing. But anyway, that's not really the point of the case that we have before us, but I am looking forward to gathering more information on what we're dealing with here and who's going to serve this area and that sort of thing. And that's the extent of my comments.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Julie.
Just wanted to mention, I have no opening comments regarding this case, but I, too, was in Fargo over the weekend. And I somehow managed to forge through the blizzard yesterday, and I'm back in the office. So we can arm wrestle and see who's braver when you get home.
Well, that sounds fair enough. We got a late start out of Minneapolis. We got to Fargo by 6 o'clock, and I figured safety first. I didn't want to be in the front page of the news. Public Service Commissioner hit telephone pole. I just didn't think that'd be a good soundbite.
Actually, you know what? If you got there at 6, you were stuck, because I left at 2, and I think I might have been the last car out of town, out of Fargo.
Well, perfect. Okay, well, if I could, basically, to bring my colleagues up to speed, we've had several work sessions on this for the previous commissions, and the last one that we had was myself, Commissioner Kramer, and Commissioner Fetch, and really, there wasn't enough information at that time as to the number of people that potentially Gray River was going to serve, so we sent back and asked, you know, a variety of questions about that, and I really think that Jerry did a really good job of his staff memo of kind of laying out the issues, because the last work session that we had that I was involved in, I was very concerned with, you know, if they're going to be serving, you know, lots of people, we never really defined what lots of people was, that would really complicate the decision. But the way I read the information back from Gray River and Jerry's staff memo, you know, I think to me, is if their scope is the way that lay it out, I see that I would, you know, agree with staff's recommendation that, you know, really this is this is not something that we would have jurisdiction on. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if Randy or Julie wants to chime in or if we want Jerry to go through the staff memo, but in a nutshell, that's kind of where I came to since the last work session.
Well, my preference would be to have Jerry go through the memo first.
Okay, perfect. And if I could, if I drop off, Scott will just call me right back. You never know sometimes these connections, but that's been, I guess, my opening comments.
I have some questions that don't necessarily come up in the memo, but...
Well, why don't we go like this then? Basically, I'll let, you know, Randy and Julie, you guys ask all the questions to Jerry, and then when you get all done with your questions, just come back to me. And then if I'm on the line here, great. If I'm not, call me back up real quick if I've lost service.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you both.
Did everybody have a chance to go through the memo? Good. Should we spend I can touch it.
I read through it, but why don't you just go through it?
I'll do that.
The highlights again.
Okay. Basically, GRE is requesting to serve the Spiritwood Energy Park. There's two customers there, and GRE has an ownership interest in the park. And one of the customers, and they are participating with Jamestown Stutzman County's Development Corporation to make this go. The customers are a nitrogen fertilizer plant and a biorefinery, and the biorefinery then will be owned by an affiliate of GRE, Dakota Spirit Energy, LLC. And the fertilizer plant is from CHS Inc., which is a cooperative out of a farmers cooperative out of the Twin Cities. GRE points out that this is kind of similar to an arrangement that they have with the Coal Creek Station serving power to the Falkirk Mine. GRE owns the Coal Creek Station, and they get coal from that mine to provide the station. And that case did go to court, and the court basically ruled against the challengers, finding that there was a unique history between these parties and a degree of interrelationship, such as the co-op was not serving a retail customer. So that's how that case went. In this case, as Brian was saying, we initially were looking at an application that looked like it was for maybe more than those two customers. And we did ask GRE to clarify that, and they did come back and say that they just had those two customers there. They did say that in the future, if another customer comes along, that they would come back and want to talk to the commission about it if they were going to serve that customer. So they didn't rule out the possibility of somebody else coming into their park and them wanting to serve them. But from our perspective, staff's perspective, with the what we have is just two customers being served, and they do have an ownership interest in one, and they do have an ownership in the park. And it really does not appear that GRE is holding itself out to the public generally. And we have looked at that as a definition of what a public utility is in the past. So our recommendation, staff recommendation, is that GRE is not required to obtain a certificate of public convenience and necessity prior to providing service to these two customers. For a little more discussion on it, Chapter 4903 is the Territorial Integrity Act, and it requires that a customer, an investor-owned utility, which is a privately owned supplier, first obtain a certificate of public convenience and necessity before extending its plant or systems outside the corporate limits of a municipality. A copy of 4903 is attached, just to so you can become familiar with that. We've had a lot of history on 4903 going back through the years. And basically, this is what we've got. The questions come out on this case is whether or not GRE is an electric public utility. And let's see where I'm at here. And that means, are they a privately owned supplier of electricity? And GRE is a Minnesota G&T cooperative owned by its member distribution cooperatives. And that just by definition means that they're not privately owned. So we fail to see how 4903 can require them to have a public convenience and necessity certificate regardless. MDU raised an issue in its brief that under 4903.1, do they need a certificate of public convenience and necessity? And I didn't attach 4903.1, but that is another chapter for dealing with franchises for utilities that aren't electric. And so gas, mainly gas, would come under there. And I guess telephone, too. But looking at 4903.1, it provides basically that no public utility shall begin construction and operation of a public utility plan or system without first obtaining a certificate of public convenience and necessity. So once again, we're back to that term public utility. And it defines that as limited liability company or agency engaged or employed in this state to furnish its product or service to the public generally, which is a statutory subject to the jurisdiction of the commission. The words public utilities, this chapter, not apply to electric public utilities, telecommunication companies that are not encumbered telecommunication companies under 4921 incumbent, or motor carriers or persons of property for hire. So it does exempt incumbent telephone companies. So under 4903.1, what you're really looking at again is whether or not they're furnishing products to the public generally. I went on and talked in the memo that there is some jurisdiction for GRE for safety and inciting, but regardless of that, it does not appear that GRE is holding itself out to the public generally. They just want to serve these two customers. And I think that kind of summarizes the memo pretty well. Did I miss anything, Alana?
I don't think so. I don't know if the commissioners would like any background on jurisdictional letters or any background, very general background, on other times when we have had this question of do you need a PCNN in front of us?
Well, before I can know whether I want that background, I'd like to have clarification from your perspectives on, is this the only question here? You said the only question, Jerry, at stake is whether we have the jurisdiction to, whether they need to come to us for jurisdiction to get this CPNN. And so, but you know, Otter Tail in their brief raised a bunch of different issues, not necessarily just related to that, and issues in terms of duplication of services. Who out there in this service area has the jurisdiction now to provide electric service? And by when this was project was first proposed, it sounded to me by their brief, now it's just their brief, but that all the parties agreed that Otter Tail would have the right to sell the electric, and now that's changed. Is that an issue here? Is that somehow not part of this discussion? I mean, that you didn't talk about that at all in the memo, and I'm curious.
One thing I didn't bother to check was whether or not this industrial park is inside city limits. If it were inside city limits, Otter Tail would have a right to serve them without getting a certificate. If they would have a franchise for that area under the city, but if it's outside the city limits, then Otter Tail would have to come here and ask for a certificate of public convenience and necessity in order to serve it. And absent that, the load would belong to the co-op. Not GRE, but the distribution co-op.
Who has the load here now in this area?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah, there's not. It's not there yet. But in this area, I don't know if it's outside city limits or not. If it's outside city limits, it's the local co-ops. If it's inside city limits, it's probably Otter Tails. Yeah.
Now, but let's... Can we talk about that a little bit more? Because you have to get a picture of how the different jurisdiction, how it interplays. If Otter Tail, let's say it's inside city limits and Otter Tail has the undisputed right. They have a PCNN from us. They have the statute. They have a franchise. Okay? That is what Otter Tail has the right to do. It has nothing to do with what GRE does or doesn't have the right to do. And the question of GRE is, do we need something from you in order to serve here? If the answer to that is yes, then you'd have in front of you, commission, you'd have Otter Tail fighting GRE because Otter Tail has the right inside the city limits, and you're saying you need a PCNN from the commission. Or perhaps they would be fighting in front of the city, like we had here with Boulder Ridge and Bismarck, okay? Mm-hmm. So you have to look at all of that argument of whether it's Otter Tail inside the city or some distribution co-op outside the city as a separate question from, does GRE need the commission's permission to give electricity, to sell electricity or distribute electricity to this entity?
Okay. So they are separate issues.
They are separate issues, and they will only be the commission's issue in two ways. One, if you say yes, GRE needs some permission from the commission, then this all gets fought out in front of the commission. Or two, if one of those utilities files a complaint against under the interference with the system. And that's where, once it's in commission jurisdiction, that's where this whole idea of duplication and waste and everything gets litigated.
This is Brian.
But there is duplication and waste in areas that never get litigated before the commission. There are. Mm-hmm. Think of a co-op and a municipal perhaps duplicating themselves. And neither one of them needs our permission or the commission's permission to do anything.
So take these two parties out of it. Could some new business come into Bismarck and create their own electric supply and supply themselves and maybe some partners without needing anything from us or for getting into trouble with the jurisdictional laws? Because that seems like what we're doing here. This business came in, they created their own power supply.
And I think the answer is probably yes. The commission is charged in the statute. And if you look back, there's some things that were passed out, and hopefully you inherited them from your predecessors. But like there was a retail wheeling memo from a previous council from like 15 or 20 years ago. But it's very much on point, okay? And it talks about whether a company is serving the public generally or not and whether they need our permission or not. Retail wheeling is a different story because you are distributing for others. But generally, the commission only has the obligation and right to control the operation and restrain the investment where the commission also has rate making. They go hand in hand. If you're going to have regulated rates, then you have to have some control over where people go off and invest their money. And that's the concept of PCNN. You allow them to invest. They need your permission because you're going to go get it from the ratepayers in the next rate case. So you have control over both of those. Mm-hmm. Okay. And generally, when you don't have the rate-making jurisdiction and duty, you don't have the I'm going to worry about where you invest jurisdiction either. So the private person that comes in and doesn't hold themselves out to the public generally, we wouldn't be doing the rates. Commission wouldn't be doing the rates and wouldn't be doing their investment, their investment.
But in response to your question, if they were to use MDU's lines to move power between them, then I think we have some issues. Mm-hmm.
Because of the MDU line, not because of the entity.
Then that gets
that's retail wheeling.
Well, and this is difficult because it's changed. This isn't how it was planned from the beginning.
Right.
And at one point, Otter Tail was going to be this electric provider out here, and now that mix, the project has evolved a bunch of different times since then, and now it's...
I don't think you could pay that would help.
Now it's... That's not the case. Now GRE wants to provide their own power, electric power.
I can find out if we're inside city limits. That makes a difference on what happens if you were to say that GRE needed a certificate. It doesn't make a difference to us, because Otter Tail would have to file for the certificate, and frankly, I think one of the requirements for them is that they have a request from the customer for service.
If
they're outside city limits.
Yeah. I mean, in or out, I don't know that it makes a difference to this question.
No.
Could there be a rural area that Otter Tail serves, just that maybe they served for a long time and they have lines going through there, and so it was put into their service area one time years ago? I'm wondering what gives them standing really to be involved in this. If it belongs, if the area is by territory, the area of a electric distribution cooperative, then wouldn't the same argument be made against Otter Tail serving it as is being made against GRE serving it?
Yeah, but we don't know if it is, because I need to find out. I mean, the town could have annexed that area. And
the question of standing, though, I think what you're asking is what gives them a right to argue against this. It's been staff's position since the beginning that these petitions to intervene are very interesting, but are not don't rise to the level of needing a decision, because this is not a real case. This is a question asked of the commission, and the answer is going to be only an answer, not an order or anything like that. So they wouldn't probably, they might not have standing to intervene, but you don't have to get to that question. They do, like everybody else in the state of North Dakota, have a right to comment on what's going on in public business. And previously, last year when we talked about it, I had said it doesn't matter if you allow them to intervene or not. Some other things matter. But for your purposes, it doesn't, because we would never advise you not to consider what they said, even though they haven't intervened. So I think you take what they have said and you give it the weight that it deserves, but you don't have to worry about the standing. Those are good questions if we were in a real case where we had to really make that decision, but I think we can avoid having to make that decision.
It seems to me there are some issues in duplication of service here, or potential questions that would, give Otter Tails some sort of standing, at least to be raising the issue, because they've got a substation right there and they're ready to serve. So they invested in that, and now with this electric provided on site by GRE, basically we're taking away customers that they would have served, and now who are they going to serve out there?
But if the commission has no authority to act, the commission is not taking away customers or causing that impact.
Right.
It's possible that state law is causing it.
So you're coming back to this, it's a simple jurisdictional issue.
Well,
whether we have, whether they need to come to us.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Because the commission only has the authority given to it by state law. And your authority is to grant or deny PCNNs when they have to get one.
And that's why you're saying it comes down to this, whether or not they're required to obtain a certificate of public convenience and necessity based on whether or not they are providing service to the general public or not.
Yes,
if that's the issue.
To the public generally.
The
which
public
is a slightly
generally.
Different test. Don't worry about it today.
Other issues don't apply.
Well, they're all very interesting, like how all the profits are going to Minnesota and all of those things. Yeah, all very, very interesting. They are irrelevant to the question that's in front of you, my opinion.
Is the decision of whether or not they need a certificate, is the question whether they're publicly owned or whether they're holding themselves out to serving the public in general?
You know,
well, or is it both?
Okay, well, under the 03.1, it's whether they meet the definition of an electric public utility, which is the publicly owned. I mean, not the publicly owned, privately owned business, okay? And that was to make sure that there was no commission sticking their nose into any co-op's decision to do anything. I mean, that's why that's written that way. There was an argument made by, I can't remember if it was Otter Tail or MDU, that, or both maybe, that, okay, skip 03, the electric law, what is that one, 03.03, and move to 03.1, where there is a broader definition of public utility, but it is still the definition of holding yourself out to the public generally. And we have had several cases that are precedent for that definition. There have been pipeline cases, I believe. One was Williston Basin versus Koch, and Koch was building a line, had a tariff, was taking on customers, was a common carrier under federal law. A common carrier means you have to take everybody. Think bus, railroad, okay? Can't deny access. And the commission decided it was still not holding itself out to the public generally, and it didn't need a PCNN. Okay? We have those cases if you'd like them. A very much more recent case was NuStar. Again, it was a pipeline. It's the pipeline from the refinery to Fargo. It used to be owned by Amoco, owned the refinery, owned the line. It's their own line. End of story. Then it changed hands to Soro to Soro. Then it changed hands, and it's not owned by the refinery. Same company owns the refinery anymore. It's owned by NuStar. And if I'm not mistaken, they were carrying contract gasoline from the refinery, and they might have been carrying it for one other entity, I don't remember. But they applied for a PCNN, and then they withdrew their application, and then that was objected to by someone who had intervened. The withdrawal was objected to, and there was a hearing, and the commission decided, and it was all about public generally. Is this what you're doing, holding yourself out to the public generally? And commission decided no. And so there was, you know, kind of their not carrying their own gasoline anymore, but caring for one contracted party, and then I believe there might have been one other, but I don't hold me to that because I just don't know.
In the Koch case, they found that because they were required to be a common carrier, they had to take anybody and everybody that came along that wanted to move product. But
they weren't out like going after business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to take anybody that came, but they didn't go out and advertise for people, and we weren't looking for anybody to come. And so they weren't a public utility generally because they weren't holding themselves out. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time that you've had to go through this, and you certainly are entitled to time to work on it, think about it more, see if you have that. I was happy to find that opinion of the previous council because it confirmed my thoughts, and it was in a totally different time, but it was very consistent with what Jerry and I are saying here, and it's worth a read, I think.
Mm-hmm. Will you get that to us, Alana?
Yes, I will. I'll send it out again, or copy it.
Did you send it once?
Well, it was like in October or something.
Oh, okay.
See,
yeah.
I don't know what all's in the file, so it wouldn't be docketed. It's a legal memo. It has been provided to the parties, though.
You may have answered this, but it didn't hit me.
Thanks.
Kind of two things here that they're not privately owned, and they're not holding themselves up to the public. If we're to agree with GRE that they don't need anything from us, do we have to find that both of those are true? Either one? Is one more important than the other?
I think that a co-op does not need a certificate of public convenience and necessity, an electric co-op, anytime, any place, anyhow.
What about in the middle of Bismarck?
Nope.
Well, and I think you take the narrowest, most wishy-washy, you say the least. I mean, all you're saying to these people, you're not having a hearing like in Newstar. In Newstar, you had to, we had to go through every excruciating detail and come up with findings. We're not doing that here. Mm-hmm. And we write something that says, based on the specific stuff you wrote to us, we don't think you need anything. Because the next thing that could happen is they could start serving, and Otter Tail could be in district court trying to get a mandamus to force the commission to do something, right, or an injunction, and that's the way it should that's the way it should play out. And we would be litigating why all this stuff in a more formal way, and so would GRE, and eventually there would be some ruling specifics. But I would say as little as possible. I mean, this is the kind of thing where they could have withdrawn their letter, and we could have done nothing.
Their letter
saying, yeah, hi. The background to this is there were I don't know how many conversations there were with Commissioner Kramer, but I was invited to like two of them, okay? And they tossed around jurisdictional determinations, which I may have volunteered or he may have volunteered, because they're often helpful ways to answer people's questions. Sometimes they kick you, like in this one. They talked about asking for an AG's opinion, which has some different consequences. We would end up probably writing it. If I was asked to write it, I'd be saying the same things I'm saying here. And they decided, and then I provided the Bill Binnick memo. I had found that during one of those conversations, and so they decided to write their letter. But It isn't a magical, like, formal filing. We have no formal rules or anything on jurisdictional determinations. We do in citing now, but not in anything else. It isn't a contested case under Chapter 2832, which is why you don't need to act on the intervention. Although I would recommend a letter back on those interventions to the parties, which I can draft.
Back to the question about the co-op serving a load in Bismarck. We're looking at what goes on outside of city limits in these things generally, and what goes on inside city limits the city gets to control in a franchise. So the city will give the co-op a franchise to come into town and serve.
And then the investor owned could file the complaint and say you're interfering with my system, or vice versa.
There is in here in 490305 complaint upon violation of the chapter that allows somebody to complain if they're interfering. But even that, I think, is questionable, whether an IOU can file a complaint against a co-op.
Yeah, well, that's a question. But the co-op filed in South Fargo in an annexed portion of the city.
Yeah.
So there is a way to litigate it if you think, if an entity feels threatened by interference with the system.
So Auditor could file a complaint with us. That's what
Jerry's thinking. There's still another question. I haven't looked at it. I don't know.
Read 490.
I think it's allowed, but
305. From the standpoint of a co-op or an IOU filing a complaint against a co-op, and at least I come away with wondering if they can or not.
Well, it says public utility. It doesn't say what. But it doesn't. There's two places in there for complaints, and I don't know that we have to get into it now.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever been tested.
Am I able to? Am I live here on this phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, just a couple of thoughts, if I could. I think Alana and Jerry have really laid it out very well. And, you know, the way that Alana brought up the talking about Newstar and Jerry, some of his things, I mean, that was the part that I really lived through all those, which for me made it easier to come to this decision where I'm at right now, given the additional information that has just come out. But there's a lot to this. But I think if you narrow it down to the scope of, you know, I don't think we have jurisdiction in the way this all played out. But there's a lot of other things that could happen. The question I had, Jerry, is what time frame are we under here to make a decision to, you know, are they looking at, are we going to be the hold up on this if we don't make a decision soon, or what kind of time frame are we playing with on this thing?
You know, I'm not sure what the time frame is for them to be in service or needing the electricity over there, but legally we don't have anything.
Because I was thinking that, I mean, if my colleagues want some more time in this, that's certainly not a problem. But I'm just trying to get a sense of if you could contact the company and what are some of the time things that they're thinking about themselves. Because they just got the EPA approval on this the other day, didn't they?
The what approval? EPA? I'm not sure what they needed to do there.
I think that was on the biorefinery, wasn't it?
So I guess that's where whatever Randy and Julie decided, we could schedule a work session for next week on this, or if one of you knows where you're at right now, you know, we could move on. But, well, Lana, what do we have to do to answer the mail on this thing? You know, whether we decide we have jurisdiction or don't as a commission, what's the follow-through that we get back to the company? Is this a motion, or is this a staff letter?
It would normally be a letter, and they've gone both ways. Usually, staff drafts a letter based on the kinds of things they're saying in these memos, and it goes on admin, and then the commission says, yeah, we agree or disagree, and then somebody says, well, do you want to sign it, or do you want staff to sign it? And the commission decides.
Yeah, okay.
Some have been commission, some have been staff. Now, as I said before, but it was last year, you don't have to answer this letter either. I mean, conceivably, you don't have to answer this letter. I mean, it's just a letter. It's a courtesy, and I realize there might be reasons you want to, but there might be reasons you don't. But it would not be anything more than a letter, which is why it's not an appealable decision, in my opinion, and that is why you don't have to worry about people's interventions. It's not that kind of a decision, so it doesn't take a formal action by the commission.
Sure. Okay.
I'm having a hard time understanding why. I mean, this is a request for jurisdictional determination. It's got a case number and everything. Why is this not a case?
Okay.
I mean, what makes it a case that requires something formal versus a letter or no response at all?
A case is defined in Chapter 2832, and I can get that for you. Don't attribute anything magical to the fact that it has a docket number. That was a way to keep track of what we were telling people when they would write in and ask, do I need to cite this wind farm? You know, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like a little bit of like you heard at the hearing, I'm guessing, about, you know, two small wind farms, do they add up to one that needs to be cited? And in citing, we ended up writing rules that say when you need to know the citing answer, jurisdictional determination, you file all this certain stuff and then we'll give you an answer. It's a little more formal, but it's still not a real application for anything that we can grant or deny. What you're saying is that this commission based, and this is what I wanted to say a minute ago and forgot, so it's very important. This commission based solely on what we know and understand at this moment, we don't think you need a PCNN or whatever you're going to say. We need to preserve the ability that if we learn something different or something that changes our mind, that we can still say, by the way, we thought you didn't need one, but now we know such and such, you do.
And then they would apply, and then that would be formal.
Right. Okay. And the reason we give it a case number is simply to find them again, to be able to have it all electronic and research it. And
I don't know that I'll need a lot of time, but I would like to look up those cases that Alana referenced and read those.
Sure.
I'm in the exact same boat. I don't think that anything's going to change in weeks. Mm-mm. But and I don't know what our schedule is for Wednesday, if there's time to address it or not, but either Wednesday or sometime shortly after that, I think I could have as much information as I'm probably going to get.
We could put it on scheduling on the Wednesday admin, and then you'll know how much time you need and what's available. If that's okay?
Sure.
And then it would be scheduled then, and it could be right away or whenever.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that certainly sounds fine for me. And if you could find out in the interim, Jerry, what their schedule is, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, I'll find out the schedule, and I'll also find out whether or not they're in city limits.
You know, on that one, Jerry, I think the last time is they weren't in city limits, and it was actually another co-op's territory, so it was even more convoluted with some of those other questions, but it's good to double-check that, because I know that was one of the questions that came out the last time we met in the work session was, are they in city limits, and was it another co-op's territory? So that'd be helpful too.
Well, and but to the point of this, that is kind of the crux of Otter Tail's argument, but it's what we're saying here is it's not relevant.
That's true. I mean, that's the way I see it. It's clearly that way to me, but yeah, these are tough issues. But I think the question of why they want us to do it now is they want to hear the three commissioners and staff's discussion now as it might lay out in the future. Because right now you can bet Green River Energy is listening and Otter Tail is listening and MDU is listening, and that's why they do this, is because they want to hear our thoughts about it.
Commissioner Kalk, that's our error because we have them represented in the room and no one told you. I apologize.
Well, that's okay. I figured if they weren't in the room, they're listening. Okay, so is there anything else for Randy and Julie? Because we can certainly keep going. That's not a problem.
If I could just venture ahead into the kind of decision-making we'll face someday. If this turned out that they needed a certificate or approval from us, then would the next question be whether they're holding themselves out to the public? Or is that just not really an issue here?
Those issues are the same. You would have to have some reason for thinking now that they need a PCNN, that they are holding themselves out to the public, and therefore they need a PCNN, and therefore you write them a letter back that says, we kind of think you're holding yourself out to the public generally, we think you need a PCNN. Now, they might start to provide service. We would bring a complaint against them. It would get litigated that way. Or they would just apply for their PCNN, and that would be that. That's how that would play out.
Well, and see, Randy, that was the last work session we had for me. That was my particular question. The most importance was, what's the scope of this? If it's limited to the way they have now, where they said it's two people, and, they would let us know if this changes, that really changed the scope. If it was going to be 30, 40 people or something different, that to me is the number of customers potentially to me was a big factor in how I came to where I'm at right now.
And that's exactly what I was getting at. If perhaps our decision here doesn't revolve around that, it's more about whether we have the other factors that we've been discussing. But if down the road, if this energy park continues to expand and add more customers, that would be disappointing.
And
sure.
That would all be your issue to decide at that point, but there's also the possibility that everybody will get along and work out something that nobody has to litigate, which is, if you're Bruce Hagen, the way it ought to be between the co-ops and the IOUs, whether they're G&Ts or not.
Mm-hmm. Did we cite this Spiritwood station? We must have, back in 2007 or whenever it was that this was built.
No, we did. Since I've been here, we haven't cited it. Was it under? Was the limit 100 back then, and it was under that?
Maybe, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's what it was. This is a 99 megawatts, and it was 100 before, so it was below the threshold, the way I understand it, at that time.
All right. I don't have any more questions.
Okay, so Randy, do you have anything else for the questions for today?
No, I have nothing else.
Okay, so is it fine with everyone then if we just put this on scheduling on Wednesday, and then we'll, as soon as we give you both some more chance to look at it, and Jerry, if you'll find out what time what time considerations there are, and I think that one kind of can button this up pretty quickly for the next couple weeks maybe.
Sure. And when you're going over, if you have questions or something, you can sure ask me for anything if I can help.
Excellent. Okay, drive safe, Brian.
Okay, with that, we'll close the work session. Thank you very much.